Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Kenny Taylor, and I'm here on a three-game slate. A three-game slate that got a little bit of everything. We got a revenge narrative that's going to be happening in Atlanta. We got a potential blowout that's going to be happening in Vegas. And we got many questions on what the Washington Mystics are going to do with that lineup. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that Sport Ethos has partnered up with BetOnline, which is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to PGA, plus the NBA and NHL playoffs. You get all the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite team. Get all the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So please head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember, BetOnline is where the game starts. Now, before we get into the slate, last time I was on here talking about the Saturday slate, I mentioned Sabrina Ionescu should be going over that 2.5 or 3.5 three-pointer line, depending on the book that you had. And she was able to go over that. So we was able to get a little cash off of that prop. I also mentioned that Kelsey Plum should also go over this 2.5 or 3.5 three-pointer line. But unfortunately, she only went over the 2.5. A lot of books had her at 3.5, so we couldn't really cash out on that one. But all in all, turned out to be an okay Saturday. Games, I wish turned out a little bit better, but hey, we're here now. Got a three-game slate on a Tuesday, and we're gonna be starting off with Dallas at Atlanta right now with a 166.5 game total and a 4.5 spread. Things we need to know is Dallas is still banged up. They're gonna be missing two of their star forwards and Natasha Howard and Satou Sablu, who has yet to make her season debut. Then on the Atlanta side, they will be without Jordan Cannon. And both teams are coming in with a 1-1 record. But on the Atlanta side, since I love the revenge narrative, I've got to go with Gray as one of my favorite plays on the slate. I believe she's going to be valuable in both cash and GPP, but I do feel the ownership will be lower than Rahne Howard, so she might be more of a GPP play. But for 8-9, I really don't see her ownership being above 15, 18% on this slate. So you can beat the ownership there. When it comes to the big on Atlanta, I don't have too much interest in Charles or Parker. I do feel like they should have pretty solid production, but I really don't see an upside game from either of the two. More of a floor game than a ceiling game. For the filler options on Atlanta, I do have some interest in Jones or Dangerfield, depending on how much I have left to fill in for a final spot. I do believe Dangerfield will have the higher ownership, so I might try to plug in Jones over her. But both should be able to be in a spot where they could get anywhere from 18 to 22 fantasy points for their respective price tag. On the Dallas side, it's pretty chalk with the options on the spend up. McCown should have pretty high ownership since she's back down to 9.5. And Ogunbowale, even though she's at 11K, I do feel like she has the potential to be in the 25 plus percent ownership on this slate. I don't mind them in either GPP or cash games, but I think I might aim with more interest towards Brown again for 6-1 since, like I said last week, McCown, as talented as she is, she's more productive when either Howard or Sabli is on the floor with her. Typically, if she's the only big on the floor, it's really hard for the ball to find her, despite, being the biggest player on the floor. She's really more limited to just scoring off of offensive rebounds, and she might get fed the ball two or three times. So while I understand why she will be pretty chalky, history kind of tell me that in these situations, she's not going to be the focal point of the offense unless something happens to Gumbawali where she will be off the floor early, and then you will have either Jazz, Sheldon, or Mir. No, not Mir. I can't think of her name. You either have one of those two running the show early, but again, that's only if a Gumbawali get into foul trouble. Outside of that, there should be some cash options that you can use that should be pretty chalky. Between Maddie Seagrass, if you want to spend up a little bit more, all the way down to Soares, and I believe she's 4 or 5 on the slate still. I know she actually had a pretty decent game against Chicago and played 32 minutes, but I don't see a repeat production of her almost getting 10 rebounds and no points along with 5 stocks. I don't see that happening again. If she gets to the 20 fantasy point mark, it will be a more modest 6 point, 6 rebound type of game. But not too much interest for me in this game. I probably will plug a lot of Ray in. Probably only running 3 lineups on this slate. Moving on to the blowout, well, potential blowout of the night. We got the Mercury playing the Aces again. And right now, this game is set at a total of 171.5 with a spread of 14.5 in favor of the Aces, of course. And on the Aces side, I might as well just throw her name out right now and the price tag. For 13,200, we got Asia Wilson, who's in a very, very generous spot. Last time out against Phoenix, she was able to put up over 60 fantasy points and get you a 30-point double-double. She's definitely in a spot to have that happen, but I do not think this game will be as close. So as scary as it is, I might have 0 shares of Asia Wilson or 1 share of Asia Wilson on this slate. I feel a little bit more comfortable going for the lower ownership in Jackie Young and Kelsey Plum. I do believe both are in great spots with a floor of 30 DK points all the way to a ceiling of having 60 DK points. And if I'm able to save a little bit in order to roster one or two of these players, I will take the ownership on that. Young has been averaging 50 fantasy points per game at 10-9. Definitely going to be a discount. And Plum, while she wasn't averaging 50 points, she was being pretty productive in her role on the team and got you 32 points in both of these games. And she has a price tag of 9-6, which should take off some ownership from her. But in cash or GPP, I don't mind playing either of the two guards in the Aces rotation. For my GPP option, I mentioned that at the beginning of the season, but Gus Stefan is the new addition to the Aces. She's been getting around 15, 18 minutes per night and has still yet to have that breakout game. But again, Phoenix was her old team, and I always like the little revenge narratives that happens in these matchups. She should have low ownership, so you're looking at 5 to 8% ownership for her. And she does have a potential to get a double-double if this game get out of hand. Outside of that, don't have too much interest on the Aces outside of these four players. On the Phoenix side, wow, There's a few routes that I actually like going. I would just put it out there right now. Hooper has been given the green light on this team. Believe she started the season scoring 20 points. Then the next game, she scored 40. I'm not sure what she's gonna do in this game, but field goal attempts will be taken. Both games, she took 20 field goal attempts, and I don't see it stopping this matchup. And if this game does hit this 180 total, I mean 171 total, she will be one of the reasons for it to happen. And at 8-5, I believe the ownership will feel the same way as well. So if you don't mind the 20% ownership of Cooper in this potential blowout, I don't mind taking her in cash or GPP, but I might have more interest on Cloud in this matchup at 8-8. I really do believe ownership will take a hit on her. I don't see her being over 12% owned in this matchup since she is the highest price player on the Mercury side, and her performance isn't scoring dependent. And if she's not really getting you rebounds and assists and stocks, you're not really going to get there with her. But to pivot away from the ownership, I do believe fantasy points wise, Cloud and Cooper should have similar scores due to the other stuff that Cloud can actually bring to the team outside of scoring. And since it's ownership, if I have enough, I'm gonna plug her in for 8-8 over Hooper and GPP builds. For the other options on the Mercury side, there's really only two places I'm looking. Rebecca Allen is 6'6", and her production really just depends on how her back feeling that night. I believe she was questionable going into the last game she played, but she ended up playing, but the production wasn't there. So since I don't see the questionable tag on her tonight, I'm gonna have interest in her. Typically, if she's able to get her shot going, she's more than willing to grab a couple rebounds, and defense is always there, so you can get a couple steals or blocks when she's on the floor for you. But for 6'6", you've got a pretty low ownership with a player who have potential to get you 25 fantasy points in this matchup. Then, if you really want to throw a dart, Liz Ditson was actually in the lineup a good amount against Atlanta. I want to say she played 10 to 12 minutes. While her production won't really be a high point per minute player, she's somebody who can get you a sneaky 15 minutes in this game. And if you're trying to do a stars and scrubs build, since we have a lot of players over 10K on this slate, she's one route you can use in order to get there. Again, you're not looking for too many fantasy points out of her. Might get you a fantasy point every 2 or 3 minutes, but she has the potential to play 15 minutes in this matchup, especially if a couple players on the Mercury side get into foul trouble. Now, for the final game of the night, and the hardest one to get a true feel for, is the Mystics versus the Sparks, the battle of the teams who have yet to win. They got a game total of 158.5, and LA is actually favored to win this by 3.5. Now, when it comes to the Sparks, a lot of players will be on Derrica Hamby. She might actually be the highest owned player on this slate at 10-1, or at least the highest owned spend up on this slate. And I understand why. Her usage rating to begin the season is huge right now. She's been giving you close to 36 minutes per game and 15, 16 field goal attempts throughout the two games this season. Highest rebound rate on the floor right now due to rink being limited. But if she's able to keep it up, get you a potential 20 and 10 game, I really understand why people will keep going there, especially since she does have the ability to get to the line if her shot's not falling for her. And she's also has the capability of giving you a couple stocks per game as well. Now, if you're fading Asia, I do feel like Hamby is a player you would have to play on this slate, and vice versa. If you fade Hamby, I think you probably will be safer playing Asia than fading both in one of your lineups. Ownership is going to be there, should be around 30% on this slate due to her having the hot hand and the Sparks being favored to win this matchup. When it comes to other options on the Sparks side, I do feel like Jackson will be a nice little salary reliever pick. She sits K right now. I don't think her ownership will be too high. Like, should be able to get her at 10, 15%. And she is scoring dependent, but I do feel like they will eventually start running her at power forward instead of just having her as a three and not have Yuru in the lineup with her. I'm not sure if this is going to be the game, but they might try something different with the lineups eventually. And once you start getting minutes at the power forward position, I really do think we're going to be able to see her have a more complete stat line other than just actual points with an occasional blocker steal. But she should have a floor of around 8 DK points, and her upside for the role that she has right now is still going to be 15 to 20 actual points. On the Washington side, I might have a little bit more interest for players. I will be monitoring if Shakira Austin is playing. So remember, we do have the Sportsitos DFS Pass where you could get all the latest news of all the players on this slate and picks from experts that we have at Sportsitos, not just for WNBA, but for all sports. But definitely keep an eye on if Austin is playing in this game or not, because that can really shape how this game is going to end up going. So I will just attack this right now if Austin is not playing. We already know Sykes is still out, so we can't get the little revenge match against the Sparks with her. Atkins, 8-6, should be pretty chalky, but I'm not a fan of her in DK. But her points prop, if you're able to get it around 17.5, maybe even 18.5, I don't mind taking the over on that. She should be able to get you at least 3 3-pointers in this matchup, maybe even four. I do feel like she would take about 10. Definitely got the green light, especially since Sykes is out. And I'm not sure how many minutes they're going to run both Vanloo and SWK, along with Melbourne. I think Melbourne actually had a couple minutes in the matchup on the weekend against Seattle. So that's something I probably will take a chance on prop-wise, but I don't really like it too much DK-wise. You probably will see her end with around 28, 32 fantasy points. So if you're playing cash games, you could play that, but I'm more interested in her prop. So again, if you're able to see it at 17.5 or lower, definitely plug in that for the over. Outside of that, Vanloo is somebody that a lot of people will probably fade due to her not having the best production against Seattle. But at 4-6, you really can't go wrong with a player who's going to get you 30 minutes and has probably the highest assist rate on the slate, to be honest. Is her shot going to go in? You never know. It's always questionable. She don't have the highest field goal percentage when it comes to that. So you're really looking for Curry to get you 8 assists, couple of easy buckets in order to get to her fantasy score. I don't think she's going to be below 10, as her floor probably will be around 12. But I think she does have an upside in this matchup to get you 30 DK points. If the minutes goes well and the fouls don't get drawn early. Outside of that, if Austin is out, I believe she will be pretty chalky, especially for the 6'3 price tag. But Olsen, I really do feel like she's been pretty consistent. Might actually have been the most consistent player on Washington this season. And even though the price tag did spike up, I want to say she started the season around 4 or 5. Now she's at 6'3. I do believe for right now, she will be the safest big to plug in for the Mystics until we actually see more separation between Hines Allen and Aaliyah Edwards. But again, I'm only going to go that route if Austin is out. Outside of that, that's kind of how I'm running the slate. When it comes to props, I'm mainly looking at the over for Alyssa's Gray, blocks and steals if it comes in at 2.5, or fantasy points if it comes in around 30, 32, depending on what site or book that you're using. And the second prop that I have a lot of interest in is Ariel Atkins going above 17.5 points up to 18.5 points. But that's how I'm attacking this slate. Hopefully this help you out, help you get some money in order to take down the slates and the props that you're attacking tonight. Outside of that, if you want to talk any type of basketball, you can find me on Twitter at OrangeDFS. We got ACB League playoffs, LNB playoffs, Final Four coming up in about 4 days, NBA draft talk. I'm always trying to talk ball. So till next time, hopefully we can take down the slate.